Hello, welcome to Press TV News Analysis. I'm Kavit Tafoli. The saga of U.S. drone attacks continues. In the latest strike, at least 10 people have been killed in Pakistan. A new report says U.S. drones often target people, including rescuers and mourners, who show up at the scene of an attack. Many of the victims are innocent civilians, including children. The U.S. President Barack Obama has finally admitted to the use of drone attacks, a secret which everyone was aware of. So why did the U.S. president decide it was time to admit that using this not-so-top-secret drone campaign? White House spokesman Jay Carney said, because he's the president. Is that enough for the bereaved families whose members have died because of these targeted killings? We'll be discussing that with our guests after this brief look into U.S. assassination drone attacks.
A fresh U.S. drone strike in Pakistan. Days after U.S. President Barack Obama defended the use of the unmanned aircraft in a rare public acknowledgement.
I want to make sure that people understand actually drones have not caused a huge number of civilian casualties. For the most part, they have been very precise, precision strikes against Al-Qaeda and their affiliates. And we are very careful in terms of how it's been applied.
But an extensive analysis by the London-based Bureau of Investigative Journalism in August 2011 challenges Obama's claim. The report found that the U.S. drone attacks in Pakistan have killed 775 civilians, including nearly 170 children, since 2004. A new report by the Bureau of Investigative Journalism released last week showed that the U.S. assassination drones in Pakistan have repeatedly targeted rescuers responding to the scenes of missile strikes. A large number of Pakistani civilians have been killed by U.S. drone strikes when helping victims. The aerial attacks initiated by former U.S. President George W. Bush have largely escalated under the Obama administration. Washington has increasingly turned to unmanned aircraft to carry out covert strikes in several countries, including Pakistan, Afghanistan, Yemen, and Somalia. According to Pakistani sources, the strikes killed some 50 civilians in return for taking out only one militant. The UN has identified the U.S. as the world's number one user of, quote, targeted killings, largely due to its drone attacks in Pakistan and Afghanistan. Also, human rights lawyers deem the drone strikes as extrajudicial killings, charging that there is no legal basis for the attacks. Still, the U.S. continues its deadly drone strikes amid a muted response from the international community.
Well, we're not going to get a muted response from our guests, hopefully. Let me introduce them. Pakistan Movement for Justice, Atif Ali, joins us from London. We have political analyst Naveed Ahmad, who joins us from Islamabad, and scholar-in-residence from the Middle East Institute, Marvin Weinbaum, joins us on the phone from Washington. Gentlemen, thank you all. First to you, Atif Ali. Why has Obama come out at this time to admit to this highly classified campaign, which is not so highly classified anymore?
Well, the answer is pretty simple. Why shouldn't he own this drone war? After all, it was the only legacy of Obama tenure for last 4 years. This is one thing that he's so proud of, that finally had to admit that this is my legacy, this is my war. And this is actually what he wanted, to finally handing over the whole Afghan war theater to us, to his own intelligence agency, CIA. But the irony of the whole statement he gave about where he defended drone attack is, first of all, he admitted that there are civilians been getting killed. When he said they are, compared to what the media is saying, the amount of civilian casualties are taking place, they are not so large in numbers. Actually, he's saying, so what? If few civilians got killed, what's the big deal? And secondly, when he's used these two words, which is like he's making a mockery of international law and the people who are on the receiving end, that these attacks are precise and precision strikes. We have a perfect case that October last year, 2011, there was a grand jirga, grand meeting from Waziristan in Islamabad, where all the heads of Waziristan community came down there, and they gave us the whole situation, what is drone attacks are actually doing there. They are just increasing anti-American sentiments. And there was a 16-year-old kid in that whole jirga as well. And after a week or so, his name was Tariq Aziz. He was targeted, and he and his 12-year-old cousin was killed in an indiscriminate killing through drone. So this is a huge slap on American president, who's claiming that these are precise and precision strikes. In March 2011, 40 people, 40 Pakistani lives were lost. That there's nobody accountable for it. And even Amnesty International appreciated Obama's statement. At least it's a step towards transparency. Mm-hmm. It's the first time he's admitting that there are drone attacks or are carried out by his permission.
Naveed Ahmad, we have our guest, Artif Ali, saying that the U.S. president feels, is making a mockery out of international law. Let's put aside the international organization by the name of UN in this case. Why don't you tell us the country, Pakistan, which has reacted only through statements. They had 24 of its soldiers killed just last month. Doesn't that make Pakistan also somewhat complicit in this? I mean, they can, at this point especially, move ahead and make some kind of rebuttal on the international scene regarding violation of international law, don't you think?
Well, Pakistan's case is very unique, where people and public, they are on the other side, and the government and politicians, especially the ones which have been playing a musical chair thing in the past many years, are on the other. For example, in the current situation, Pakistani politicians are now under a binding that Pakistani military forces should shoot down these intruders whenever the next one happens. And at least three of such strikes have been happening since 2012 or even more. So this is a case in which Pakistan government, which is Asif Ali Zardari's government, led by a People's Party in the name of democracy and voice of the people, they all really are to be blamed. Why don't they act, and what is so cheap about the blood in Waziristan, and why blood in Karachi or in interior Sindh, the southern province where Asif Ali Zardari and Benazir Bhutto come from? The difference is that there is an electoral college. They have to go to the south of Pakistan to get the votes. And that is why if something happens there, that is dearer to them, and that is a damage, and that has a larger cost compared to what's happening in Waziristan. However, on the other side, in the public eye, this has become very clear. There is no complacency. People realize that there has been some kind of deal between the government and military and with the United States, and both Pakistani armed forces and Pakistani government have really played into the hands of foreign interests. And it started in Musharraf era, which was passed on to this regime, and this is continuing with it. I would like at this moment one point with regard to what Mr. Artif said regarding Obama's statement. Whatever he said, I agree with it, except that I would like to add that Mr. Obama's statement would be used by lawyers like him in future to install and to launch war crimes against these people who are arrogantly admitting what they are doing, and they are not sure if they don't even think that there would be a situation in the world when they would be questioned for what they have been doing and what they have been saying and admitting.
I'd like to get the thought process behind the U.S. president's Marvin Weinbaum. Really, let's look at this. He has said, Barack Obama, U.S. drones, as our guests indicated, have not caused a huge number of civilian casualties. We mentioned in that report that investigation by the London-based Bureau of Investigative Journalism has found that the attacks in Pakistan alone have killed 775 civilians, including nearly 170 children, since 2004. Tell us, how many is a huge number of civilian deaths for President Obama? And how is it that he comes out, and as our guests indicated there in London, boasting about this? I mean, is it for what some are saying for the election strategy or his re-election strategy in this election year?
Well, it has been repeated that there are civilian casualties. They have contested those figures as not being based on full facts. You know, though we are dealing here with the fog of war. It's often difficult to be entirely factual here. The usual argument that is given where there are civilian casualties is that they are collateral, that they're not deliberate. But the more familiar argument is that what the Taliban or whether they be Afghan, well, in this case, probably Pakistani Taliban, what they have done is to locate themselves in civilian compounds as a way of gaining protection against drones being able to target them easily, and that in the course of that, you have inadvertent killing of civilians. This is familiarly the rationale for why there are as many civilian casualties as there seem to have been.
Latifali, let's look at the consequences, whether it's collateral damage. The facts and stats are there in terms of what it has caused in Pakistan. In this fight against terrorism, why don't you tell us what has happened in Pakistan? We see almost weekly demonstrations against the United States. Perhaps you can expand more for us how this is counterproductive to the aims that the United States has, and how much of a danger that's posing rather than eradicating terrorism as the U.S. wants to.
Well, before I going answering your question, let's not boggle down, let's not trap ourselves into simple maths and numbers. It's about the principle we are talking about. How America and its allies in Europe will react if China tomorrow use the same drone technology to attack Taiwan? How America and its NATO allies will react if a Russian spy plane or drone attacks at Georgia? The underlying precedent that America is setting is for the future wars. It means any superpower can violate any weak nation or smaller country's sovereignty in the name of their own security. The gentleman in USA is indicating that it's not their fault that people are getting killed. Taliban should not be hiding in civilian. They should identify themselves, come in the open, and ask the drones and come and hit them. You are dealing with 10 million or 12 million Pashtuns living in Pakistan area who have direct connections with the Pashtun tribes in Afghanistan. If Durand line was drawn, it was drawn for European powers' own convenience. Pashtun do not recognize this line. If there's some tribes gonna get killed in Waziristan, they're gonna go and take a revenge. This is a Pashtun way of life. You cannot change them through drone attacks. What's happening in Pakistan is pushing your civilians towards terrorists. In fact, when the government should be taking ownership of their own citizens inside Pakistan, where they're simply giving us lip service, where they say these drones are unlawful and these are counterproductive, they should be going to UN Security Council, where this is a direct violation of UN Charter and the second clause, subsection 4. You are challenging their basic right to life that's been violated in UNA. This is where the Pakistan has to stand up, or Pakistan government has to stand up, that claiming that their sovereignty is under threat. Because if our current government came into existence due to this sham national reconciliation order, which was a contract between a dictator and European power to install a corrupt government upon Pakistan to carry out their agenda in Pakistan, it is destroying Pakistan itself, and it's going to be creating a bigger quagmire once America start deciding to leave in 2013 under their election pressures, rather than looking at the broader peace prospects in the whole region.
Well, Navid Ahmed, what we have seen seems to be, even though the relationship has been a rocky one, just recently, after the 24 Pakistani soldiers were killed, where it seems to have reached rock bottom, that there seems to be, an easing of relationship between Pakistan and the U.S. We're looking at the fact that the NATO tankers are going to now be eased, the reports coming out that way. Why is it that Pakistan had this strong rhetoric before, and now they have taken this milder stance. Does it have to do with the relationship between the Pakistani army and the U.S. that establishes the course for the relationship?
I don't see what you're saying having any facts and grounds. The fact is that Pakistani military still is not in sync with what one politician said, who happens to be one odd minister with not much authority, that they might be open. But there has been a softening of corner in some individuals who were not speaking before, but they are talking now. How much leverage they have on the policy, that has yet to be seen. There has been no indication from any senior source, as a journalist I can tell you, or any senior politician who really is in the know of the things, that Pakistan would let the US tankers and all these supplies to resume. And this is not something on the cards at the moment. Mr. Grossman, who happens to be in Afghanistan again, hasn't come to Pakistan yet. Ever since that incident happened, there have been multiple requests of him coming to Pakistan, explaining what he wants to explain, but nothing happened on that front. It won't be that easy at all, if at all it happens. Secondly, Pakistan has yet to seek and get an apology for what happened in that incident which you referred to, of killing of 24 Pakistani soldiers. And that's not enough. More so, there have been sanctions on Pakistan during that period, which Obama hurriedly signed, and Pakistan is now losing some defense support from US, which Pakistani military thinks is not necessary and won't be interested in. So there are these big barriers that have come up, and this is real rock bottom. All these reports are not really factually true, and we will see how things go ahead. Pakistani parliamentarians, which have become more assertive, especially from the opposition and allied parties, not the main political party, Pakistan People's Party or Pakistan Muslim League Nawaz, there is going to be a lot of answers that will be sought. Pakistan is having its own way of sort of awakening, called Arab Spring in some areas, and that is through Imran Khan and political party that he has launched. People are not really going to accept resumption of these supplies to Afghanistan, which really hurts the United States a lot, and a Pakistani on the street really knows it. And it's an educated middle class, a young man, and an educated middle class serviceman of the Pakistani government. So the anger is very much there, and there is not going to be such a calm scenario for United States to come and resume it, and Hillary Clinton comes smiling, talking to people, socialites and all. That's not the case. It's Hillary.
Marvin Weinbaum, the American Civil Liberties Union, ACLU, has said it will be suing the U.S. government under the Freedom of Information Act once this news about Obama admitting to the use of these drones. And they said to release basic and accurate information about the U.S. government's targeted killing program. What do you think the chances of success are there?
Well, their complaint here is not the general one. It has to do with the fact that drones have been used, killing of a al-Qaeda operative in Yemen who was an American citizen. That is the basis on which, as I understand, American Civil Liberties Union is trying to get information. There is a real question here about whether, under the conditions in which he was killed, that was, under American law, a legal operation. Let me go back to just what was said a moment ago. I want to remind you that General Mattis, who heads the Central Command, is currently speaking in Pakistan, as I understand it, to the Pakistan military. I think that your supposition here that whether it's today, tomorrow, or soon, there will be a resumption of the tanker traffic into Afghanistan. I think that's going to happen. It's going to happen because Pakistan's economic situation as such requires that there not be a complete divorce from the United States. It's going to happen because when we go back to the drones, we have to remember that military cooperation has made many of the drone attacks
possible, particularly those aimed at the Tariq-e-Taliban, the killing of Batullah Massoud some years ago. These were, and as well as some of the targeting of Al-Qaeda, these were considered by Pakistan military to be in Pakistan's interest as well.
Yes, but Marvin Wambaugh, when we come to the death of 24 Pakistani soldiers, even Pakistan has said after an investigation that this was deliberate. Not fully, but there was deliberate attempt by the U.S. to kill the soldiers, Pakistani soldiers. I mean, how do you explain that?
Well, look, there was a real strong difference of opinion here. It's one thing to say that communications were not what they should have been, that the cooperation broke down and led to this kind of incident. It's quite another thing to say that this was done deliberately, because if it was done deliberately, for that you're going to need some I think, additional proof.
Well, let me bring in Atif Ali. We're quickly running out of time. Atif Ali, that was the examination of the facts as it unraveled based on the investigation. Pakistan concluded that it was somewhat deliberate for those 24 Pakistani soldiers to be killed. So why is it that Pakistan, as our guest said, just the economic issue here? I think the billions of dollars that U.S. gives in aid to Pakistan.
Well, over here, your guest in Washington is absolutely correct that our elite, that corrupt government they installed upon Pakistan through NRO contract, needs their billions of dollars to remain in power. Let's look at the people on the ground. This is a completely 180-degree opposite story. They do not want American dollars. And let me give him a news. In 12 months' time, our Party for Justice, Movement for Justice, will be in power. You better start telling your people in U.S. to start looking at other options in Pakistan dealing with terrorists, because we're not going to allow this. And I guarantee you that once we are in power, there will be no drone attacks. And an American government needs to think about other options which actually work toward dealing with the root cause of the whole issue, rather than just dealing with the symptoms through drone attack, which is, in fact, like curing cancers through diabetes, through painkiller tablets. That's what they are trying to do.
Well, we're going to find out in 5 months' time, and hopefully we'll be talking to you then. From the Pakistan Movement for Justice, thank you very much, Atif Ali, from London with the statements. Political analyst Naveed Ahmed, we appreciate your statements from Islamabad. And thank you, Marvin Weinbaum, a scholar in residence from the Middle East Institute. And thank you, the viewer, for watching another edition of the Press TV News Analysis. Newsroom at PressTV.ir is our email address for any suggestions, comments, or if you have a suggestion for a theme for or a topic for our news analysis. From Mikhail Vitakhvay and the entire team, it's goodbye.